All right. All ready?
Yeah. Can there I drink go. My coffee while we do this?
Yeah.
Cool. Right next to the mic. Make sure.
Just don't spill it, please. Just don't spill it, please.
Yeah, get the slurps out. Oh, perfect. That's God. Not sound.
Yikes. That's the cold open. Just the slurping and then the theme song. All right. We ready? Welcome to the Sound of Troy podcast. We're back after a couple week hiatus. I'm Jackson Safon, one of your hosts, I guess, and I'm joined for the first time, finally. We were finally able to get the scheduling right. Max Goldwasser and Rachel Frayne, say what's up to the people, guys.
Yo, yo.
Hello.
Thanks for you know, finally getting this together. Max.
Yeah, you're welcome.
They're both also fellow USC students. Max is a senior, Rachel's a junior. Max, you work where? NFL?
NFL Network, a researcher guy, numbers guy, you know. Not it's more about the pros, so I'm trying to get more back into the college game now that we're back into the season here.
And Rach, you're doing what? A lot of things.
Yes, I do a lot of things. I work for USC Athletics social media, and I do broadcasting for the football team. But don't take everything I say as legitimately from the company.
No, yeah. She's also the executive also producer now of Sports Scene.
Yes,
she's taken over my former job there, which is good for her. Exciting stuff.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
And Sports Scene, might add, looks a lot better now.
Oh, there's no doubts about
well.
That. Basically, once I left there, just that in itself just sort of raised the quality.
I think that was it.
But yeah, you can find Sound of Troy on SoundCloud, iTunes, you know, just Sound of Troy. We're the only Sound of Troy there is, so shouldn't be much confusion there. All right, guys, let's get into the actual football stuff. Before we talk about this weekend, just a quick look back at the Texas game, because obviously it's been the talk of everybody, even during this week after the games have all ended. But any cause for concern? Because yes, USC is 3-0. And yes, they did win in this dramatic fashion. A lot of positives. Chase McGrath, Darnold lead the game tying and winning drives, right? But they looked a little shaky.
And yes, there is cause for concern.
I would not have been concerned until they released the injuries list.
Okay.
I was not concerned at the end of the game. This happens. USC never starts out well in their first three games. It's pretty rough for us. We don't start that great. But after that injuries list came out is when I started to be a little bit nervous.
It's
about
a deep list.
It really is.
Yeah, way too many names.
A lot
on that
of starters.
List.
Yeah, it's really not exactly what you wanted to see. I mean, it looks like Uchenna Nwosu is back at practice and seems like he's going to play, which is a big one. But a lot of guys who might not. I mean, it's a shockingly long list. Let's see if I can pull it up. If you guys can list some names off the top of your head.
Well, Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just sort of came on sort of randomly. He didn't
random.
Seem like, yeah.
Nobody even talked about it. To be quite honest, I'm not
didn't
even
really
totally
notice
sure.
anything during the game either.
Not at all. He was totally fine throughout the game. Yeah. I think it was a post-game / practice injury.
Injury.
Jesus.
Don't quote me on that. Porter Gustin, still struggling. I know he was out the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Chuma Adoga didn't dress the second half.
That's right.
It was a lot of guys.
Rasheem Green had the ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Ajayne's got the knee.
Right.
There's just so many guys.
That's a lot of defenders too, which is kind of been slowly becoming our strong suit, you know, surprisingly. And that's not what you want to see, especially when they're kind of developing that chemistry and, and that good play.
I guess the only sort of positive injury or injury news is that Michael Pittman seems to be working his way, continuing to work his way back, getting stronger and better every week. He did dress last week, but seems like he'll be able to take on a much bigger role this week. Got a lot of practice time with the first team.
They're going to need him.
Yeah,
they're going to need him. That's the one thing we're missing this year compared to last year is that, I mean, Darius Rogers and Juju Smith.
Right, that
and,
physical and, type of receiver.
Physical receivers and just receivers that we're not deep at receiver right now.
Yeah.
We have Deontay Burnett, but we can't do much past him right now, it looks like. Steven Mitchell is pretty good, but after that, there's no depth whatsoever.
Yeah, Pittman was sort of my breakout guy coming into the year, and the injuries obviously sort of, at least, derailed that, but just sort of pushed it back at least a little bit.
It kind of blew my mind because I feel like there's a lot of talent at the receiving corps, and there's a lot of talent on the team in general. But nobody's performed.
Yeah, I mean, Deontay, you can't undersell Deontay. Pro Football Focus named him the number one, at least so far through three games? Three games. The best and highest graded receiver in college football.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's been outstanding. He absolutely deserves
Even
it.
Even last year, he was the unsung hero on that offense.
Yeah, yes. He's been absolutely outstanding. Well, he's got four touchdowns through three games. Exactly. One receiver can't hold it down.
Over what? Over like 120 receiving yards in each game also.
Yep, he's been absolutely unstoppable. So the cause for concern is the injuries a little bit. Mm-hmm. But my other thing in the Texas game before we sort of move on to this weekend, the jump pass. That's what just, I couldn't even, at the time,
Tebow,
I couldn't get over it.
Tebow.
Yeah, exactly. The time I couldn't get over it, I still can't. But the question I posed after the game, and I'm still sort of pondering, is the jump pass more impressive than Darnold's touchdown against Penn State, the winning touchdown to Deontay?
I would say no.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. The jump pass was awesome. I mean, in Darnold leading us down the field in 45 seconds, that's just he's an absolute magician.
Yeah, it's
but
crazy.
The real magic I saw was back in that Penn State game when Deontay Burnett is not even open at that point. He's still running the route. There's three Penn State guys in coverage. Darnold throws it to a spot. He led his receiver so much, and it's insane because I don't think anyone else would have read that happening except for Sam Darnold. The jump pass was incredible. It was ridiculous, but I only saw one defender in the area. I'm not trying to take anything away from that throw, but they were in prevent coverage. They're fine with a 20-yard gain at that point.
I wish that everyone could see the pain on my face when you asked that question because they're both such incredible plays, and I don't want to take anything away from either pass. What stands out about the jump pass during the Texas game for me is that Sam wasn't playing his best game.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't until it hit double overtime. And then he really stepped up, and that jump pass was incredible, and then he finished it out, and, I mean, the Sam that I saw in the double overtime was
even at the end of regulation, I mean.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing for me with the jump pass, though, is think about how difficult it is to throw a jump pass at all. Yeah. Like, when you don't have your base to, like, push off of to throw a pass, it's so difficult to throw one, A, that far down the field, B, that accurately, and then he said in practice this week that mid-air, while he's jumping, he realized how covered Stephen Carr was. Mm-hmm. So he mid-air changed the arc of the pass, decided to change it, lofted it over the defender.
The accuracy part on
crazy,
ridiculous. As I saw him going up for that, I knew what the idea was, and I was thinking he is completely guarded by the defender.
Like that's gonna be picked.
He had to put it in one spot, and so that was the only place that he could have put it.
Like,
great
if
pass,
you put a trash can out 20 yards away from you. And how many attempts do you think it would take to do a jump pass and get it in the trash can?
A lot, a moving trash can.
A
how
moving
about that?
Trash can, yeah. Not just a stationary one, a moving trash can guarded by a guy with brooms. Like, that's what it would be.
That's not happening.
Not too often.
Yeah. No. So I understand, like, the Penn State, and it was obviously much bigger stakes for the Penn State one.
Right.
But
if you're talking, even if you're talking about just the play, I still think that Penn State.
I low key think it's the jump pass.
I think the jump pass has a lot more at stake than we even realize.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And especially if you already have that much emotion in the game, it doesn't really matter what the stakes are. You are as invested in that game as any other game. It doesn't matter. The game is on the line. You are giving it couldn't have happened at a better time. And I mean, just the whole drive down the field in general was amazing, but it shouldn't have taken that long for us to get back in the game.
Right. Okay, so now that we've sort of taken a deep breath after talking about the Texas game, it sort of gets me excited every time I talk about it, just because it was obviously the craziest game of the weekend.
Roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, roller coaster of emotions, absolutely. So now we're going to play a little game of fact or fiction. I know, very creative title. Never been done before in the history of sports media, fact or fiction. So first one, fact or fiction, Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in the Pac-12 right now.
Right now, okay.
Yeah, right now. Because, like, coming into the season, he's a lot of hype.
Obviously.
And
hype.
He is in the Heisman discussion still, even with the six interceptions. But
you could look at this in two different ways.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks
in
the conference right now.
You could look at this in two different ways. Okay, if you're just going by the numbers, no. If you're going by stats, no way. But this guy is still making throws that only NFL quarterbacks can make. I still think he's going to be the number one draft pick in next year's draft. There's so many intangible. He's still the biggest playmaker probably in any team in the Pac-12. One of the biggest playmakers in the nation.
Right.
Those are things that you can't teach other players, and those are things that you can't take away from him. Yeah, he's thrown at least two picks in every single game, but he's still thrown three or four touchdowns every single time, and he's still doing these throws that you would never think that someone in college could complete, like the jump pass.
Sam Darnold.
Like the jump pass.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold is the most talented quarterback in the Pac-12.
Okay.
I am hesitant to say he's the best right now. I think this Cal game is huge for him, and it really depends on what he's going to do here. It's just so hard for me to look past Josh Rosen's numbers, Justin Herbert's numbers.
Yeah, those are the two guys for me. And then even Jake Falk. Browning and Luke Falk. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the Pac-12 right now.
But I think talent-wise and maturity-wise and as a leader and as a captain, yeah, I'd give him the best.
So, yeah, statistic-wise, Sam Darnold is second in passing yards, mm-hmm. tied for fourth in passing touchdowns, has like the most in interceptions,
yeah,
right.
and in completion percentage,
he's eighth, I think.
To be fair,
my computer would
he's
work.
He's tied for eighth. I'm almost.
He is
positive.
Tied for eighth with yeah. Brandon Dawkins.
Yeah.
To be fair, one interception versus Texas.
Oh yeah,
not his fault.
Mm-hmm. Not his
fault.
Perfectly placed ball.
Right.
Just dropped.
I'm sure you could go back and look at each of those interceptions and find something else that also went wrong. You know.
Right.
I wouldn't say each one was purely his fault.
Yeah, I think it's close right now because Herbert has, 73% completion percentage. Falk's got 77, and Rosen's 13-2 touchdown to interception ratio. that team has been garbage, and they're 2-1, and yep. they probably should be 1-2. Mm-hmm. So that probably plays a factor in maybe he's not the best if they're not actually winning that much. But 13-2 touchdown to interception ratio.
Well, the other thing is their defense is so bad.
Yeah, it's
all they have to do is they need to let up
like what 50 points to Memphis.
Yeah,
to Memphis.
And 44 to A&M, right? Yeah, 44.
Yep.
So it's a lot on Josh Rosen. He has to do a lot, and he has been doing it though. 13-2, whatever you want to say about the guy.
Yeah.
13-2 touchdown interception ratio. So we're sort of split on this. We're not really sure. Fact or fiction? Stake your claim. Best quarterback in the Pac-12. Fact.
Fact.
Okay, a couple facts there.
We're going facts there.
Where are you, Jackson?
I'm going to say fiction.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, I don't
Hot
think.
Take.
Yeah, I don't think he's been playing particularly well. I mean, I agree that he can't just look at the raw counting statistics because Rosen is put in this position where he has to score all these points, and there's a lot of variables that go into just raw counting statistics. But at the same time, until the last drive of regulation and going into overtime, Darnold was legitimately horrendous.
But here's the thing about that. That's when Darnold's at his best.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen the same play calling that we were watching last year this year. Uh-huh. Maybe it's because we have two amazing running backs, and that's fine. Use them. That develops the pass game. But I feel like Darnold is being kept way too much in the pocket, and he is not being allowed. He's not allowed to go out on the run. He's not allowed to make these plays and make things happen and be the magician that we all know that he is. And I feel like that comes down to maybe it's not all his fault that he's thrown two picks and not looking like the same quarterback. I feel like that maybe can be something from higher up, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if this is coming from T. Martin or Clay himself, but I mean, they've been very conservative with Darnold so far.
A little bit.
It's very predictable. It's not inspiring offense. Like,
right, and I agree. Like he deserved like a lot of that Darnold factor is his ability late in games and this clutch ability. And I try not to put too much weight on that because I feel like this idea of clutch is like, I don't know. Like Josh Rosen was pretty clutch over the in getting their Texas A&M win too. Obviously not as much against Memphis. But I don't know. Like I just think you got to look at the whole body of work, and he was so bad. He was so bad against Texas until the last drive of the fourth quarter and beyond. So.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just going to say right now, I think it's probably bound to change. I think by the end of the season, there's a very good chance because he's right there. It's all I'm saying. He's drastically like
if the draft was tomorrow, would he still go number one?
I think Josh Rosen would go ahead.
Wow.
Of him. Okay. I think Josh Rosen would go ahead of him. It's close. I mean, he's going to be an early first round pick almost undoubtedly.
I think Saquon Barkley would go first.
Wow.
Ooh, Saquon's, I mean.
That is the hottest take all night.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon, with the way last 2 years running backs going super high with Zeke and Fournette, so Saquon's arguably better than those guys.
So he's going to go fourth overall then.
Right, yeah. Darnold's trash, basically, is what we're saying. All right, next one, fact or fiction. Stephen Carr is better right now than Ronald Jones.
That's fiction.
Yeah, that's hard fiction.
Hard fiction.
Yeah. Hard fiction.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive, but Stephen Carr has showed some pretty
incredible... I don't know about hard fiction, but it's definitely fiction. Let's see, why is it hard fiction?
Okay, I'm going to say it's hard fiction because...
That's a term that I just made up, by the way. I don't know what hard fiction
is. Oh, yeah.
But it's firmly in the fiction category.
That's a confirmed genre, I promise. I don't know. Watching Ronald Jones play, he's at this maturity level and experience level that it's impossible for Steven to be at. I mean, he's a freshman. He's new. Like, everything is new to this guy right now. And, yeah, he's great. He's been, I mean, putting up amazing numbers every game except for Texas, but neither did Ronald.
Right.
But I think Rojo is still better.
Yeah, my thing is Rojo's been unreal this year. Everyone's talking about, oh, put on 10 pounds of muscle, put on 10 pounds of muscle. But, like, it shows. So you can't not talk about it because he's been running so much more physically and through contact and breaking a lot of tackles. It's been – he was always this electric speed big play guy. But the thing – especially in the Stanford game, right? Rojo was this big play guy as a compliment to Justin Davis and stuff like that. But he was a workhorse against Texas. He had over 20 carries, and he was averaging over 5 or 6 yards a carry despite not having one longer than, like, 25. So he's shown the ability to do the other side of that as not just – he doesn't need these big plays to be effective as much anymore.
He looks like an NFL running back now. Yeah, yes. You go back to last season, he was – he couldn't really get any yards after first contact. He would go down easily.
And that's what the new running backs coach, Dylan McCullough, has been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you can see it.
You can definitely see it coming into fruition there. He's also got a touchdown, at least one rushing touchdown the last 10 games. And I don't see that ending anytime soon if he's healthy. Because he is an absolute monster. Stephen Carr, I will say, I think when Rojo was that age, I think Stephen Carr is better than Rojo was.
That's kind of what I was going to get at. But the thing is, Rojo was amazing his freshman year.
He still was,
Like, he had 986. He almost had 1,000 yards. He averaged over 6.5 a carry.
But nobody cared.
Yeah. I mean, people cared. But
people cared
significantly less.
It was quieter than Stephen Carr's been. Yeah. Because Stephen Carr is such a – I mean, I guess Rojo had a lot of big plays too. But Stephen Carr is this really weirdly flashy running style that he just makes stops on the dime and makes people miss.
Yeah.
The reason I say Stephen Carr was better as a freshman than Rojo was is because Stephen Carr is just so much more advanced as a pass catcher. Ronald Jones, his entire freshman year, when he had 153 carries, almost 1,000 yards on the ground, he caught 7 balls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's just not his thing. He only caught 11 in the sophomore year. It's not like he made a drastic improvement.
Right.
That's just not where his bread and butter
is.
And he's improved at that over his career, obviously. But he had 7 receptions for 39 yards and a touchdown his freshman year. Stephen Carr, through 3 games, has 7 receptions for 83 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just light years ahead.
Clay Helton said that every time he touches the ball, you kind of hold your breath and expect something amazing to happen. But I honestly can almost say the same thing about Rojo. Look at the play that happened before halftime where he takes the ball on a pass, on a screen pass, and takes it all the way down for a touchdown, which is something that USC needed.
Just so much craziness in that Texas game. Like, the thing that stuck out in my mind, like I said before, was the jump pass, but that whole sequence at the end of the first half with the tipped pick six to the Rojo long range touchdown.
That was an exhausting game.
I was shaking in my boots. I had no idea what I was going to talk about at halftime on the radio. It's 0-0 all the way until a couple minutes left. I'm like, all right, well, nothing's happening.
When USC first gets the ball before the pick six, I was like, okay, you know what? You're at home. You're winning. Like, let's just run out the clock. Like, you don't need to be that overly aggressive right now. Then they throw the pick six, and I was like, oh, wow. Well, changes everything. But now, getting the ball back, there's even more reason to be conservative going to halftime.
No.
And it just didn't, I mean, yeah, just crazy.
Forget we have a magician at quarterback.
Right.
But that is what should have been happening the entire game, the entire season. That's USC football.
Yeah, that should have been happening, but, like, I'm doing the air quotes thing. You guys can't see. But, like, Rojo made this freak play. It's not like every defense they're going to play is in prevent defense, and not like no one's going to be – no one was within 25 yards of Rojo. It's not like it's that simple.
Right, but that is what you expect watching USC football.
Yeah, I guess.
It just shouldn't happen. Go for it.
I don't know. I don't know if I have this weird, beautiful version in my mind of USC football. But when we were – they're double overtime – and, you know, seconds away from losing this game. And for some reason, I was so calm. I just, like, in my head,
that's
I was
crazy.
Like, this is going to happen.
I wasn't
this
calm
is
then,
what USC
but
does.
When on the very first play of overtime, Donald throws a touchdown to Deontay, I was like, okay, wait.
Nothing.
USC is so much better than this team. Like, you kind of forgot, and they weren't that much better in that game, but it's just when you're the better team and you're at home, you just really should win in overtime.
And I don't want to talk about this game for much longer, but I will say the thing that wasn't talked about much is Texas was using a backup quarterback. That was not their starting quarterback.
Ellinger looked great. Awesome. Also, I thought it was pronounced Ellinger, but I'm pretty sure it's Ellinger.
It's Ellinger,
right?
Yeah.
He was outstanding.
Great is an overstatement.
He was great.
He was great.
He was better than Darnold was for most of the game.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, at the end, I did not expect the true freshman to lead them down the field and get this touchdown like that. I mean, that was stuff that Sam was doing as a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Ellinger was outstanding.
I wouldn't say that anyone on either offense was outstanding.
Okay.
Just in general.
All right, that's fair, yeah. Except for maybe Deontay.
Okay.
Back to fact or fiction. We got one more. Uchenna Nwosu is the best player on the defense right now. I don't think it's that outrageous of a statement. I'm going to say it's a pretty serious fact. But what do you guys think? Because Cam, I mean, who else is even in competition? Like, Cam Smith has been great. You saw the difference that Cam makes in the first game when he was out in the first half. Mm-hmm. USC gets run all over. Cam, he comes in the second half and it sort of changes. But I don't know. Give me your guys' thoughts on that one. I think Uchenna is definitely the best player on the defense.
I think it's hard to pick a standout player on the defense because they are such a core unit. I mean, like, everyone's done a great job, especially in that last game. Marvell Tell, Jack Jones.
Whoa.
Okay, all right.
Whoa. I'm thinking of two people that I don't want playing on our defense for much longer, and that's Iman Marshall and Jack Jones.
I almost made up some sort of fact or fiction superlative for Jack Jones. It's basically saying the dude is garbage.
Yeah.
I would highly disagree.
Fact.
Okay, all right. Maybe he is not as incredible as everyone expected him to be, but our defense is playing more than half the game. I mean, like,
yeah, a lot of snaps for Jack Jones too.
These guys are exhausted, and they're doing their job.
Oh yeah, I mean the defense has been great.
And between Chenna and
except for
Porter,
the first half against Western Michigan, the defense has been great.
Yeah, that's fair. But I would
I personally think Jack Jones has been one of the weaker links on the defense.
And Iman Marshall.
Iman's had a really up and down season.
But that's not what you want from
season.
Someone who is supposed to win so many awards going into the year.
Like, I mean, he's looked really, really good at times and then just had a couple head scratchers where he kind of... But like some of those, he kind of slips maybe. I don't know.
Some of those, I will say, they're on the field for a lot. But also, a lot of times when the quarterback for the other team has a lot of time to throw, you can't cover a guy.
It's a lot of pressure on the secondary.
Seconds.
Exactly. So... Back to the question, though.
Yeah.
Uchenna is the best player on the defense, fact or fiction?
Fiction.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so who's the best player on the defense?
There is no best player.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to call fiction and then cop out.
I can't give you a best player on the defense. I'm sorry. The defensive line did their job.
They've been surprisingly pretty
Nobody
solid.
Nobody has just...
Fatu and Rasheem Green have been good.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Rector was great in the second half. Yeah. Obviously, came up with the huge play at the end of the game.
I can't pick one because the defense is such a solid unit right now.
Yeah, they're good. They play good. Against Texas, they played really. I mean, the only points let up in the first half was they didn't let up any. It was a pick six.
Yeah.
So they've played really well. But I'm not only going to say that Uchenna is the best player on the defense. I think that right now, through three games, Uchenna is the best player on the team.
Ooh, that's the hottest take we've heard.
Right.
I think he has an argument for the best player on the team. The only other guy I think you could say is Deontay. It was through two games. I thought it might have been Rojo.
Sure.
But after the week third game, and Deontay excelled in game three, and Uchenna was outstanding. I mean, a couple pass deflections, a couple sacks. He was all over the
place. He's leading the Pac-12 actually in passes defended.
Yeah, he's like top 10 in the nation in passes defended as a linebacker.
Yeah,
linebacker.
That was surprised looking at that. Odd. Yeah, and he's also leading the team in tackles. He's got a sack under his belt. Only four other players on the USC team have a sack.
Yikes.
And it's impressive what he's doing this year. And he's a captain, right? I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's one of the
and he's playing like it. You can see him on the field. He's leading the entire team. He's the fire on that defense that's been reignited this season. And I agree. He's the best player on that defense. Second best player. I was thinking
earlier.
Who are
you going with then?
I was thinking earlier it was an outrageous comment what you were saying about how, you know, he might be the best player on the team. No, not as bad. It's not as bad as I thought. He's second best player. Deontay is definitely my number one.
Yeah, Deontay's been
outstanding.
I have no problem with that one. I'm looking through these Pac-12 stats on their website to try to get some Uchenna stats. And did you guys know that Reed Budrovich is leading the conference in punting average in terms of yards?
I did, weirdly.
That's crazy. I mean, he barely edged out the Utah guy. Utah always has great punters and kickers.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's really impressive for a walk-on guy to take it over the job this year.
These walk-on kickers.
Teams.
Yeah.
I know.
Great. Special teams has been really
special
solid.
Special teams has been awesome, and nobody really ever cares, to be quite honest. I mean, it's never like the talk of the town is special teams, but I don't know. They kind of are the most solid part of our team right now.
Yeah. They've been good.
Which is the unsung hero.
A lot of props to Chase McGrath because as being at plenty of USC practices over the fall and just watching those kickers in practice, I'm not saying they don't have the talent because they have a lot of range and you see the ability, but it was just a mental thing where they were missing so many kicks in practice. They were legitimately horrendous in practice all fall.
Yes.
Absolutely horrendous. I had very little faith in Chase McGrath to make those kicks. And then he hits both of them, and I mean, the second one was close. First one was right down the pipe, though.
Right.
Like, the kid was great. He deserves all the credit.
Yeah.
Like, as much as myself and a lot of USC media have talked about the struggles of the kickers in the fall, they deserve the opposite of that, all the credit and more.
Did you know he was originally a soccer player?
Well, that explains it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That explains it. It seems like all the soccer players converted into kickers.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Uchenna Nwosu is second in the conference, it looks like, in passes defended.
Okay, second.
Just barely.
Oh, but that's including what we're talking about, like cornerbacks and
people. Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he has seven through three games, which is incredible for an outside linebacker.
He's still a linebacker.
So, yeah, top two, probably three player on the team, which is, I mean, considering a lot of the talk was, it was about him and Porter, but more so Porter. When Porter made the Sports Illustrated, like, freaks, quote-unquote, list in the offseason. A lot of talk about Porter, how he's going to be one of the best pass rushers in the country, and he's been fine. I mean,
he's still a freak.
He's been solid. Yeah, he is a freak, but Uchenna's been better.
It's hard to, like, when everyone's playing so well on the defense.
Right, we're pulling hairs here. We're getting a little bit in the weeds, but I just think Uchenna deserves a lot
props
of
props to the whole defense, though. True. That's not usually the USC strong suit. So
yeah, not at least in recent
nice
years. It was for a little while. But let's talk about Cal just for a little bit. They're tied for 10th in scoring offense at the Pac-12, but 5th in scoring defense. They've had a couple decent wins. I mean, week one, they get a good win at North Carolina.
Yeah.
North Carolina is not amazing by any stretch, but they were in a close one. North Carolina played Louisville close for a little while, so that's a pretty solid win for Cal. Then they beat Weber State, who's garbage, obviously, but only beat them 33-20.
Utah.
And then they beat Ole Miss, another middle of the road team. So they're 3-0 though. Props to them. But USC is like a 17-point favorite or something
way
like
too
that.
Much.
I think it's a little much too. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Does Cal have a chance to win the game at all?
Always.
Yep.
She says.
Every team has a chance to win any game. What do you mean?
We saw this last week. You could ask the same question about the Texas game last week, and then I probably would have even said no, but now after watching that game, every team has a chance. Every team clearly has a chance. I agree.
Would you say
that's
Jackson,
an interesting take?
Jackson,
I don't think every team
has
a chance to win every week.
Would you say Cal is better than Western Michigan?
No.
Whoa.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I agree that Cal has a chance to win this game. It's at home, and playing on the road in college football is difficult. But let's not say
that
any team has a chance to win in any game. All right, fine. You guys want to take the Morehead State pick against Alabama? Go right ahead. I'm going to stay away from that.
Crazier things have happened.
Yes.
Appalachian State, baby.
Yes.
So now let's talk about that 17.5 number.
Yeah.
Seems a little high. Seems a bit high.
Well, why does it seem high, Jackson, if you think that Cal is so bad?
I think USC wins by double digits pretty easily, but they've also haven't been as spectacular as a lot of people expected them to be coming in this year. And like we said earlier, with all the injuries, they've had a lot of injury issues. So on that front, they're just, if they were fully healthy, I would say, they'll probably cover that 17.5 number. But with all the injuries, I just think that they probably end up winning by 13 or so would be my guess. I don't think it's really ever in doubt. I think that USC probably takes control pretty early and just sort of stays in control, sort of puts it on cruise. But I don't know. I mean, you guys seem like you're going to pick Cal in this game, so I'm a little bit wary over there.
I am not going to pick Cal. I am not going to say that 17.5 is the right number, though. I agree. It's a little too much. USC doesn't look that amazing right now. And with all the injuries, I can't predict anything, which is just such a cop-out answer again.
Yeah,
but
Rachel's turning into the Keely Yore of this podcast. Shout out if you're listening, Keely, the not very definitive statements.
Wow. Okay. All right, Jackson, I'll give you a number. I'm going to go with 12.
They're going to win by 12?
Yep.
That's an interesting number there. Not sure how we get there.
You wanted a definitive statement.
Is it going to be a blocked extra point, or what's going on with the 12 number?
There's something up there.
There's something up. All right.
There's something going on.
I mean, if they win by 12 now, then you're gonna we'll get you some props.
The thing about USC when they are heavy favorites or they come in with so much hype, you said it also, they don't really play very well at the beginning of the season. That's usually when they get all that hype. So I'm very wary every single time they're up, mm-hmm. they get one of these spreads. They don't tend to cover, and it's a lot closer than it usually is. I'm thinking USC wins by about 10.
Okay.
My score prediction was 38 to 28.
That's a lot of points they're going to let up to Cal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just done this whole segment praising the defense, how good the defense has been.
Yeah. I mean, also, here's the other thing is you talked about how hard it is to play on the road. And I think it's especially hard in the Pac-12, probably harder than most other conferences. If you look at past years, teams do not win on the road typically.
Yeah. And like Rachel said, it is first road.
And
game
USC scores a lot of points. So if it's going to be close, something's going to have to happen because USC is still going to score a lot of points.
They're going to win by 12 points. It's going to be weird.
Oh, there it is.
Going to be weird.
You heard it here first from Rachel Frank.
Yeah, that's going to be wow. I'm going to say that USC wins. Let's go 34.
To 34-20. Okay.
I think they win by 14. I don't think
they
cover.
So USC isn't going to reach. I think they've been averaging 39.5 points per game. The Cal defense slows them down a little bit.
How many did they have last week? 27 against Texas, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Took them two overtimes to get 27.
Yeah.
Right.
So obviously the first 2 weeks the offense was rolling, and then last week, credit to the Texas defense to slow down USC,
which is not supposed to be good typically.
Right, exactly. I thought USC was going to put up another 40-point game pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So I think that, what did I say, 34? That's respectable. 30-plus points is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's about what they've been averaging when Darnold's been a starter. So I think it's pretty much on the road, first road game. That's kind of where they hit their standard. It's not overly outstanding.
Yeah.
But then the defense just I think they'll it's going to be painful for people who are taking that 17.5 line because I think they're probably going to be up.
Right.
Like a pretty more than that, and then Cal's going to score a garbage time touchdown or something like that, sort of get
some bad beats.
Yeah, backdoor cover there or something. But I think USC wins this one pretty handily. Now, what we're going to try to do here, if I can get it to work, is bring on an old friend
of back from the grave.
Of the pod. Yeah,
back from the grave.
Let's see if we can make this happen. I'm not sure if the
that is an excellent noise.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if that's being picked up or not, but
I picked up
Connor.
Yeah. Squad,
what's going on? On the line we have the great, the one and only Connor McGlynn, formerly of the Sound of Troy podcast, now at NFL. Connor, thank you for joining us, taking the time.
Oh yeah, I didn't know I was formerly of the Sound of Troy podcast.
Currently and formerly.
Formerly.
It can be both.
That's fair.
I don't think it can be both, actually. But
no, you're one or the other.
Yeah, so currently on the Sound of Troy podcast, I'll just give you a quick rundown of what we've covered so that way you can disagree with all of my takes.
Cool.
I basically said the jump pass was better than Darnold's touchdown pass in the Rose Bowl to Deontay at the end of the game. I said that Darnold's not the best quarterback in the Pac-12. I said that Uchenna's the best player on the entire team. So we got a lot going on. I said that USC's not. We all agreed USC's not going to cover the 17.5. I want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No chance, right?
No chance.
Okay.
So what's the score prediction from you then, Connor? We're all in the 30s to 20 range.
No. I don't even think it's that. It's going to be a real high scoring game. I'm saying
You think the vaunted Cal offense is going to put up a lot of points on USC's defense?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? Why? Because of injuries?
45-32.
32
okay.
points?
Yeah. They were calling me crazy for my 28. 32 is even more.
Connor, what do you think about USC winning by 12?
It's close. Yeah. He said 13, so it's not too far off.
Yeah, I can't really disrespect it if I pretty much guess the same thing.
Yeah, I was just making fun of the 12 as a sort of bizarre number to win by.
But it could happen.
Oh, it could happen, certainly. But I'm curious why you think Cal is going to be able to put up so many points on USC. USC's defense looked really good last game and against Stanford.
they look great, but they're also struggling with injury. I think,
yeah, okay.
I mean, without Porter Gustin being able to provide the pass rush, because realistically, he shouldn't play. He doesn't have to play in this game.
Yeah.
And like his bodily functions, he can't play in this game.
I mean, who knows? That guy's kind of an alien. We've seen some pretty impressive USC athletes come back quickly from injuries, whether it be Porter with the surgery last week. Juju a couple of years ago had hand surgery, didn't miss a game. So yeah.
Porter Gustin's not human.
Right. He takes his food through liquid form every day.
Yeah. Well, that has nothing to do with
Connor, if you don't think taking your food in liquid form helps you recover from injuries faster, I don't know what you even learned in your biology class.
Definitely not much. I definitely haven't taken biology since freshman year of high school. So
I think I'm going to go sophomore year for me, last time I took biology.
See, I tested Ms. Marsh. Out of freshman science, so I got into biology as a freshman.
Ah, look at you, smarty pants.
Smart cookie over here.
I took it freshman year as well.
See, me and Fran are on the same page.
I forgot what science was. It's been too long.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's about right.
I literally took the least amount of science you could possibly take in high school to graduate.
Me too.
I took in my high school there was a way you could take biochem. So like one semester.
Combine the two.
Yeah, no, I swear to God. One semester we took biology, and one semester we took chem. It was sort of all the crash course.
For all
course.
You lazy people out
no,
there.
No, legitimately.
That don't
take
more.
So I took biochem, and then I took physics. Another year, and then I took. You had to have 2.5 semesters, and so I took forensics. That was that was the other science class that I took.
And did you learn that liquid form was better?
Life sciences or environmental science.
Yeah, I thought about taking that one. Didn't take it.
Yeah, that was a joke.
I thought psychology was going to count as a science. It didn't. I'm not sure why, but anyways.
Anyway,
Connor, we brought you on just because we love you. But also for the trivia. Everyone's favorite segment is the trivia. So you have free reign to ask as many questions as you want. But you're not here, so you can't sort of just give you the I guess I could just hang up.
You can't see our idols.
I could just hang up. But you have sort of free reign to sort of do as much as you want here, so I'm going to leave it over to you.
It's actually easier for you to shut me up when I'm not there.
Yes. That's a good point. I could just I'm probably going to hang up on you, just knowing me, but
right.
All right, what you got for us?
I got a couple of good ones for you, actually, the way I see it.
That's not a good sign.
It's a Justin Wilcox reunion. I'm guessing you guys have talked about that.
I'm kind of over that one.
Yeah, that's tough, because that's what you're going to deal with here. So, Justin Wilcox, 3 games as Cal's head coach, 2 straight games where his Cal team has allowed 0 points in the second half.
Wow, that's a good stat.
Chomp on that.
That's a great stat.
In his time at USC, how many games did Justin Wilcox allow 0 points in the second half?
Do you have the total number of games that he coached here?
28.
28. Out of 28 times, how many did USC's defense not allow a point in the second half? That's the question?
Correct.
Assuming that it's probably around the same number, I'm going to go 3. And I feel like that might even be too high.
I think that's too high. I'm going to go 1. Connor just loves trick questions so much that I'm going to – I feel like it honestly could be 0.
There's something you'll learn. Max and Frayn don't have the advantage of knowing.
Right, your obsession with trick questions.
Well, you know what, Connor? I'm going to take 0.
Yeah, I think it's – but the thing is, USC is just – I know they've played some cupcakes, so it's legitimately possible that it also could be like 10. But we got 3, 1, and 0. I have a bell here, so if you need me to ring it, just say the word.
We don't need a bell for this one.
Oh.
So, Wilcox, in 2 straight games, his last 2 games, has allowed 0 points. In 28 games at USC, he also allowed only 2 games.
Oh, my gosh. We just hit it. 0, 1, and 3. Unbelievable.
And, Jackson, you mentioned that they played cupcake teams.
Yeah.
The 2 shutouts in the second half came against Stanford and Oregon State.
Oh.
Stanford's a really interesting one. What year was that?
2014. His first year is the
wow.
I
believe that was the year of the Hidari kick. No, that was 2013.
That was 2013, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good question. We were close though.
That.
We were pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
You're all close, but none of you got
no dings. That's all right.
We averaged a win there though.
Right.
As a unit.
Fair enough. Well, as a follow-up to that, we're going to go to USC's current defensive coordinator, Clancy Pendergast.
Good guy, Clancy.
He has now served over 2 years as USC's DC. How many times has his USC defense pitched a zero in the second half?
Oof, man, you're really okay.
You love
it. It was a great stat, and now you're kind of going overboard on it.
Now it's a follow-up.
All right, that's fair. We're going reverse order. Fran, you're starting this time.
How many games did you say that he's been the DC for? This is his second year.
Like similar amount then, probably, right?
It was 27 up until this year, so 30 total.
Wait.
This is his third season.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Out of 30, okay.
14. Yeah. And boom and boom. Or okay. 2013, excuse me.
I'm going to also go with 2.
Max?
I'm going to go to Jackson's first question answer. I'm going with 1.
I'm going to go 5. I think it's been kind of a lot.
Really?
I don't know why. I just had this gut feeling that it's kind of a lot.
I haven't seen much good defensive play, so I'm going.
But once again, I'm just banking on the cupcakes.
Right.
5's definitely too high, but I can't change
Jackson, do me a favor and throw the bell in the trash can.
Oh. What's the number?
It's the number's 4.
Oh, I was going to say
about
4.
To say it. It was coming out. I saw that.
Clancy Pendergast's defense have pitched 4 second half shutouts. Wow.
Against
who? 2+ years. Well, in his first stint at USC back in 2013, he had a streak of 3 straight games.
Wow.
Where his team did not give up second half points.
That was before my time.
Oregon State, Utah, and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Ooh. There's been some both coaches now. We've had some sort of big name schools, big rivalries that have. That's really impressive.
Also, Oregon State.
Yeah, Oregon State. Recurring. Yeah, they are having
sorry.
Some, no, they are having some problems.
That's our next home game, too, so look for the second half. Shutout.
What was that, Connor?
I said Oregon State cannot score in the second half.
They can't score at all, really. But
The fourth game came last year in the win over UCLA.
Oh, that's right.
I love that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. I'm not liking that we both missed both questions by 1, but
yeah,
it's all right. We're circling. We're circling it right now.
Give us like the third second half question you got for us.
I'll give you a follow up. Sure.
In the second half of Connor's trivia segment, how many times did we guess it correctly?
0.
The follow up: which of these games, out of the 4 Wilcox or the 4 Pendergast games, and the 2 Wilcox games? Did USC lose?
Is it Stanford?
Utah.
No, it's definitely not Utah. Wait, not, so, why, not Utah
USC
last year.
Was the shutout
has
last year?
The second half shutout 6 times over the last 5 years.
Stanford, Oregon State twice, Notre Dame.
Utah and UCLA. It's definitely not Utah because last year they scored Tim Patrick for the winning touchdown like right over Dory at the end of the game. It's not
2014.
That was when Utah.
2014 was Utah.
Oh, no, wait. The Utah game was 2013.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't last year. I'm going to go. I really am embarrassed that I don't know the answer to this question.
Right.
I'm going to say Stanford.
I'm going to say Notre Dame, even though I'm probably wrong.
Rich?
Yeah, what are my other options?
You got Stanford, Notre Dame, Oregon State twice. I bet it's one of the Oregon State ones. Yeah. It's definitely not.
I would cry.
Utah and UCLA.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to jump with Max and say Notre Dame.
Okay.
Wow. Jackson, do me a favor. Hit the ding twice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for me. That's a very sarcastic excitement. I'm pissed that I didn't get it.
It was the Pendergast defense did not hold up in the 13-10 Notre Dame game. Cody Kessler on the road.
Cody.
Kessler. You know what they always say? You never trust Cody on the road. I just say you don't trust Cody.
Yeah, in general.
Or in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I remember that game. It was a.
I was in Midwest. That was a good one, actually. Right?
Cold. It was raining. No one really. Yeah, USC was just not prepared for that one.
No.
Not having any memory of that game, I'm going to just assume that Cody threw short of the sticks a couple times on some critical third downs.
Marquise Lee did not do his fair part.
I blame Cody, personally.
Yeah, I can't blame Marquise.
Fair enough. All right.
At least someone got a question right.
Yeah, and Jackson has zero still. But Connor told me when he was prepping, he goes, I got some good questions today. And I told him I was going to get them all right, and I have not gotten a single one.
Well, I'll tell you what. Usually I come on and I have like six questions lined up, and like two of them I steal from other people.
Right. I assumed you saw all of them.
No, usually I do some prep. This was all my own creativity and research, so I'm kind of proud of my...
If you've known Connor as long as I have, you know that whenever he says he's being creative, you just run the opposite direction.
As a researcher, I respect these questions so far. These are good ones. A lot of second half questions, though. Let's get something new.
We're breaking away from the second half.
Yay.
So, this was kind of shocking to me. USC is playing Cal for the 105th time this weekend. That is the most times they've ever played an opponent.
Wait, seriously?
Wow.
Cal's? Yep.
More than UCLA.
USC's record against Cal is 68-30-5, so the 105 includes the vacated
ties.
Win.
Wow.
Okay. I follow you.
Can you guys name the other teams in the top five in the correct order?
In terms of games played. That USC has played. So Cal's number one, and you're going to ask us to name two through five.
I'm going to say Notre Dame is probably second.
I think Notre Dame second. I'm going to go Notre Dame second, UCLA third, Stanford fourth. It's got to be conference. It has to be. I'm going to say like Arizona. I'm going to say Arizona. Because it's got to be someone. I guess the South wasn't really a thing before. It's just one Pac-10. That isn't really an issue.
So it can't be Utah.
No.
No, it's not Utah or Colorado. I'm going to say the order we just said. What did we say? Notre Dame second. UCLA, Stanford, Arizona. I'm going to say Arizona.
Let's do it. We're all in agreement.
Okay, we're all in agreement.
Three buzzers. Let's get it.
All in agreement?
Yep. I got it ready.
The bell's in the trash.
Oh, no. God.
Did we get any single one of them right?
In the correct order?
Yes.
Throw them back to me? Cal, who?
We got Cal's number one, Notre Dame,
UCLA, Stanford, Arizona.
No.
Wow. Do we get any of them right in the not correct order at all? Have we completely botched this question?
You got the entire wrong order, and you missed the team.
All of them?
Just give us the right answer.
So you got Cal at 105.
That one was the toughest part.
Listen to this. Stanford at number two.
Okay.
Wow.
96 games against Stanford. Then at number three, Notre Dame.
Okay. 87. Why is UCLA so low?
I don't know.
Am I missing something?
Then there's a tie between fourth and fifth. UCLA.
Okay.
And Jackson, name the fifth one.
I don't know. I guess Arizona, but I have no idea.
Jackson, I set you up. UW.
It's a more historic program. I guess that's probably part of the reason.
Yeah.
That baffled me. I never would have put UW in that.
It's because you think of them as so separate now with the North and South, but it wasn't like that for most of the history of the conference. Right. And UW is one of the most historic football programs on the West Coast. So.
Okay, but we still got three of the four.
Yeah,
whatever.
The order. So
yeah, but you didn't get.
Hey, ring that buzzer.
I'm ringing it.
There we go. Yeah,
see, Connor. This is what happens when we have the bell, and you are just asking the questions.
Yeah, this is nonsense.
But like, I'm still confused as why I'm not a USC football historian by any means. I wasn't a USC fan growing up. But what's the deal with UCLA being so low?
So I looked that up too, and it seems like USC played Stanford a few times each year during the early
multiple
years.
Times.
And by early years, I mean like the 30s.
Like the 1700s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, practically.
Naturally.
When the Trojans became a thing.
Yeah, 1776 or something like that.
Not
exactly. All right, well, do you guys want the follow-up on that one then?
No.
I want one more trivia question. It's up to
but
you
not,
what
but
it
not
is.
On that.
perfect. You're getting a follow-up.
Oh, God.
Just what none of us wanted.
Everyone groans. All right, what you got? What you got? Good. I'm excited. I'm going to get this one right. I can feel it. I'm going to guarantee it, actually.
My question was going to revolve around Ronald Jones, and because he has scored a touchdown in 12 straight games.
Whoa.
But I didn't get around to actually researching who the last USC player was to score 12 straight. So I had to leave that off the list.
Okay. Well, what you got?
I got, out of those five opponents, which team does USC have a losing record against historically?
Out of the five that they've played the most games in?
Stanford.
Correct.
And only one of them USC has a losing record.
Correct.
No, I take it back. I take it back.
Out of those top five teams?
Yeah.
Okay. Notre Dame.
I was going to say Notre Dame as well.
Oh, I don't want to just like join on the pack there. I'm going to say... Yeah, it's probably right, isn't it? Just for funsies, I'm gonna go a different route,
okay.
And I'm gonna say UW just out of pride for my home state, which is definitely wrong, but
yeah, you gotta join on the bandwagon.
Dang it!
Yeah.
All right, well, at least I knew it. I knew it. I knew it was right. I just wanted to
give us the bell.
Yeah.
Give us the bell. Hey.
And one for me.
For pity.
Sort of. Yeah. It's just sort of a half ring right there, but. So.
Well, can I do one more? Because that was clearly too easy.
Yeah, you can do one more.
All right, one more. Which team does USC have the best win percentage against those top five?
Oh, win percentage?
I'm going to say UCLA.
I'm going to go
really?
UW.
Really? That, okay.
All right, guy.
So I'm going to not guess UCLA because of that reaction.
He's probably just conning you guys. Caught. He wants me to change my answer. All right,
I'm going to say Cal.
Oh, yeah, that was dumb. It's definitely Cal. I kind of just sort of forgot about them because that question was so long
ago.
Yeah, it's definitely Cal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Cal.
Woo! Max is on
it
fire
here.
That's because he's the researcher.
That's a good point.
He came into this loaded. He's just hustling you guys.
All right, Connor, thank you for coming on. Before we sign off here, you're staying on until the end. But before we sign off, I want you already gave a score prediction for the game, but I want your hottest take either for the rest of the USC season or for this week. It's sort of up to you there. And I'm putting you on the spot. Did not prep you for this.
All right. Hottest take for this weekend. Justin Wilcox outcoaches Clay Helton.
Whoa.
That's not a surprise. I mean,
Justin
like
Wilcox,
that.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
That can mean a lot of things.
So situationally, I mean, I didn't watch their last game against Ole Miss, to be completely honest. I watched their week one game against UNC, and I really like Justin Wilcox being able to handle situations, knowing when to use timeouts. Like going into the half, there was like 10 seconds left. UNC was in the red zone. He noticed a mismatch, called a timeout, and the next play, Cal was able to get a pick. Things along those lines, just like the small games within the game, maybe going for it on a 4th-and-2, when other people would punt, things like that.
My thing on that is I don't think that Clay Helton's a particularly amazing in-game coach.
Yeah.
So I see what you're talking.
I don't either.
I don't think he's that bad. I just don't think he's that spectacular. He's really good at like leading the team, sort of bringing them all together.
Over here.
I know.
Big fan.
But I also don't think Justin Wilcox is a particularly good coach. So
that's his hot take. That's why it's a hot take.
Exactly. That's why it's a hot
take.
Okay,
yeah, that's fair.
You want a hotter take?
I mean, I want every take you got.
All right, hotter take. USC gives up over 290 yards passing.
Huh.
I guess you said like 34 points.
Connor, did you graduate and learn to hate USC? Like, what's up?
Hey, he just understands. He knows. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not oblivious to watching a game.
Okay.
Calling out Rachel.
Note taken, Connor.
Just saying, like, I've been at the last two games too, and it's a defense that is vulnerable, especially if they're not being able to get a pass rush this week.
The defense looked great against Texas.
Yeah,
no, but
if
they're going to give up a lot of yards of something, it's going to be passing yards.
Agree.
I agree.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, with the injuries, they're not going to be able to get as much pressure.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, especially if Rasheem is limited or doesn't play.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm confident in my take.
All right, that's fine. Anyone else with anything before we sign off here? Takes, thoughts, concerns,
toughest game remaining on our schedule.
The one thing I will bring up is the only thing that I agreed with when you recapped me with what you said is that Uchenna Nwosu is clearly USC's best player right now.
See, I don't think it's clearly because Deontay's been outstanding.
Yeah.
But
clearly.
Okay. All right. Connor's just going to be this guy and just comes on and gets a lot of questions, doesn't actually make any points, and then just quickly gets out. Tries to throw these takes under the rug.
And then bye. Bye, everyone.
He's as a D lineman, I guess he's considered an outside linebacker, backer, yeah. But as a D lineman, he's fifth in the nation in pass deflections.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Like, he's been playing out of his mind. There's a reason that, I mean, we saw it last year, too. He was USC's defensive MVP over Adoree last year. He's going to be it again this year.
Without a doubt. I like that take. I mean, obviously, I made it. But.
Yeah.
So that's all we got for the Sound Detroit podcast this week. We'll be on again next week talking about the biggest game, potentially one of the biggest games of the year against Washington State.
That's what I was going to say.
If USC and Washington State both win, they'll likely be top 15 matchup on the road on a Friday. So that's a tough one. But until then, thank you guys for listening. At Sound Detroit on Twitter, SoundCloud, iTunes, the whole deal. Thank you from Jackson, Rachel, Max, and Trivia Master Connor McGlynn.